To start with, could you, in a minute or two, just give us a little bit of a feel for your background and what you're doing now?
I'm a scientist, trained in microbiology of all things, which is pertinent to COVID. And I've spent a long time working at the laboratory bench, or later in my career running research institutes, or in one case leading a university. And now, in my 60s, I started founding or co-founding high technology startup companies. I probably founded about three, co-founded and co-founded an investment fund to invest in high technology startup companies. So that's pretty much what occupies me now. A little bit of work set aside to an artistic startup as well. Why stop just with science? So, but largely now, private sector driven, entrepreneurial, risking my wife's personal capital in a series of companies with an attempt to make a serious amount of money, and at the same time introduce technologies that are good for humanity or good for the rest of the planet.
Given your wealth of experiences and that's been applied now, as you say, to startups, do you think COVID-19, as we come out of COVID-19, is going to change how we need to approach startups, whether that be from a funding point of view, or is the landscape going to be easier or harder from your point of view?
I'll take a New Zealand-centric approach, if I may, because I do think it differs if you get into the Northern Hemisphere. It's probably also true of Australia, actually, as well. But certainly for New Zealand, yes, it will change it, and it'll change it for the better. Because we had our economy prior to this was running for the last 15 years. We'd basically commoditized what I call space. So we commoditized the low population density by bringing in a very significant number of immigrants every year. So very major population growth, very significant for a developed country, driven off immigration. On top of that, bringing in a very fast growing number of tourists, also one can claim a reasonably commoditized approach to marketing selection coming. Nice to have them here, but not a very refined strategy in the end. And the third was an ever increasing number of international students going to our polytechnics, universities, and more recently secondary schools. When that pump got turned off, that left in the economy basically our primary industries, which is still the biggest merchandise component by a long way, but also now the only real alternative, a really sophisticated technology-driven manufactured goods or services. And I think we're going to see a real kick up, because partly because I don't think there's any alternative in the next 2 years. Nobody knows if there'll be a vaccine for COVID-19. I mean, we haven't got one for HIV, notwithstanding billions of dollars spent. We've only got antiviral drugs that are very effective. We may get one for coronavirus. There isn't one yet. There isn't one for MERS or SARS, but there may be one for COVID with the amount of money we're spending. But if there isn't, then it's particularly difficult for New Zealand. And even if there is, we may be a long way down the queue to get hold of it. So in the meantime, to keep our economy going, I think we have to add another string to the bow. And it just happened at the time when we were starting to introduce a moderately serious amount of Series A investment capital into the country, led by the government and its superannuation, major super fund. But I think we need to accentuate that very greatly. So I'm optimistic about that, simply because I think we've got an alternative, actually.
And you've already highlighted your experience, but just to re-emphasise the fact, as you say, you're a scientist, you've led a science organisation, you've led a university. And I know from us having worked together, from my point of view, you're also a great strategist. So if you, in the future, particularly given the COVID-19 experience, if you're advising any business, particularly small to medium-sized businesses on strategy, are there things that you believe that we need to emphasize or think more about strategically going forward? And as a subset of that, what about innovation? How do boards and senior and management teams need to think about innovation in a New Zealand context?
So I'll take a perspective of an economy order. It doesn't mean the end of tourism, because about 50 to 60% of tourism, I understand, was domestic anyway. And if we're in a bubble with Australia, potentially Taiwan, Singapore, countries that have really effectively controlled COVID, then we're still going to have international tourism. But it won't be ended as it was. And so I think that no matter what, so that'll be hard for those sorts of hospitality, entertainment, tourism, you know, personal type businesses. But even beyond that, if you're in a small business right now, for the next year at least, we all know this, cash is king. Conserve your cash. It's about a year after, if you're looking for capital, it's about a year after any major event unfolds that capital is generally at its scarcest. So if this unfolded in New Zealand in March, April, it's going to be March, April next year when it'll be particularly difficult to get capital investment into small businesses if that's what you're looking for. And I think many will. So I think you've got to be going for capital now if that's what you want. The earlier the better in a way, even if you're not particularly ready for it. You've got to conserve cash as best you can. You don't know where the winners are going to fall coming out of this, although I believe, as I've said, technology per se, high technology will be a winner, be it a service or a product, partly because we might expect some of the some trade barriers to get re-erected. If things are difficult in other economies, we might find that, you know, the free trade movement takes quite a few steps backwards. With technology, if companies in another country want it because it's going to make them much more effective and you've got something unique, they'll find a way of getting it. They may not want your meat or your milk or your timber or even your wine, heaven forbid. They'll probably want your technology. So, yeah, I think... especially if you're in the line of business I'm in, you've got to look after your cash, get capital investment early if you can, and absolutely maintain an international focus. The big challenge is if you can't go overseas because there might be a two-week quarantine imposed on you when you go, probably not if you're coming from New Zealand, there certainly will be when you come back. That makes international travel pretty hard, and airfares are going to be very expensive too. So I think you're going to have to find a new way of doing business, even if your product's in demand or your service is in demand overseas. You're going to have to think a little bit differently about how you secure deals or even find international capital in the future.
What about boards? How should boards and senior managers or management teams think? Do they need to think about innovation in a slightly different way going forward?
Well, yes. Yes, I think they do. If you look at New Zealand overall, it spends about 1.3% of its gross domestic product in research and development. That is a very low sum in international terms. So you could go into South Korea spending about 4%, which is high. You go to countries like Singapore or Malaysia or others, probably spending about 3%. So we are a very long way off the pace. Now, the government's a long way off the pace, and the private sector probably even more so. So I think if we're going down a more creative knowledge-based route, if that's what we end up doing, and I hope we do, then we're going to have to load up more not just boards of directors thinking about innovation, research and development, technology, and how that changes the nature of their products and services of their companies, but also, much more importantly, the culture of your companies or your organisations and how that culture can empower internally entrepreneurial behaviour or innovative behaviour. Or alternatively, if you can't really do that because you have an operational style that doesn't need or want that much, how do you acquire that innovation or technology or whatever it is? How do you acquire it either by licensing or by acquisition in the future? I think it will become increasingly important if we go down the path I'd love New Zealand to go down, which is more about intangibles and creativity and intellectual property than it is about the tangibles.
We've touched on it to a point, but do you think, particularly given your experiences over the last couple of years in helping to co-found and develop startups, do you think, are there principles that established companies should be thinking more about almost adopting a startup mentality in what they need to be doing to remain competitive in the years to come?
I always remember going to an institute. I'm a chartered member of the Institute of Directors in New Zealand, but I remember going to one of their conferences years ago, and a professor from Victoria University got up and talked about the results of a study he'd done where most of the chief executives he'd interviewed said the biggest threat to innovation in their company was the board of directors. So I think this is true, it's real. Didn't actually get debated at the conference, which really upset me. But having been both a CEO and a chairman, there has to be a different view on what risk is. What is risk to a company? What is, and maintaining the status quo is often the riskiest position you can take. COVID-19 will slow down the investment in research and development across the world, other than into COVID itself, for a while, but not for long. And it's interesting, I'm heavily involved in four startup, high-tech startup companies, either as chairman or managing director. And all of those four companies are seeing their international partners in the Northern Hemisphere slowing down shortly, for a limited period of time, their research and development effort while they, for goodness sake, try and find their feet. All the time talking to these New Zealand startups about when they can begin compiling trials again on the new technology. So it's not going away. The drive about R&D and tech is not going away, probably going to accelerate across the planet. In an ideal world, you'd see all the directors of companies in New Zealand becoming more enthusiastic, not less enthusiastic, about innovation and R&D, and prepared to take risks, because that's what a company is all about. It's a vehicle to take risks, not avoid it, with shareholders' capital. So, you live and hope. May happen, right? Yeah. It should happen. Yeah.
Do you think our innovation ecosystem in New Zealand is better today than it was, say, 3 to 5 years ago? And if so, will that help us achieve some of the things that you're highlighting?
Well, I've got mixed views about that. I think if you look in the commercialisation space, we are gradually getting better. We've just announced a $300 million set aside from our New Zealand Superannuation Fund to be used to leverage a series of private sector, Series A venture capital investment entities, either to come into New Zealand or, even more importantly, to grow our internal capability around investment. We're not doing badly right now in seed, pre-seed investment, which is before VC. We could do better, but we're not doing badly. So I think New Zealand's performing, reasonably well in international terms there. However, when you sat at 1.3% of GDP and R&D for 30 or 40 years, your economic strategy is fundamentally not about knowledge. It can't be. Or else you wouldn't be at 1.3, you'd be at 2.53, 3.54. And so, to be honest, if we're really going to change, to me, the litmus test coming out of COVID-19 will be, there'll be two choices. There's one choice here. We either open up mass immigration again, like we had for the last 15 years, and just say, we don't care about productivity growth. We just bring in heaps of people and they're just going to bid up the value of your house. So who cares? Or we could say, actually, we do care about productivity growth, and we do care about where the future is in intangibles as much as it will be intangible. And we're going to show that by doing two things. We're really going to ramp up investment in R&D, government and private sector, use the government to lever the private sector. And we're going to ramp up investment in the arts as well, because that's equally creative. And we're going to try and drive a different society and a different economy. Now, that's we've never done it before. I mean, we've been through a depression and two world wars, and we never did it. And they were much bigger hits than the one we're taking right now. But I'd love to think that we would, because to me, if you're a small country, that's the opportunity you've got to distinguish yourself. We're very creative here and very innovative as a society, but we've never really adopted the Swiss approach or the Danish approach or the Dutch approach, or whatever, even the British approach. We've not done that. And I think it's long overdue. Whether we're going to do it, whether we've had a big enough hit through COVID to actually change our strategy, and underneath that, change our fundamental philosophy of our place in the world and our contribution to it. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit cynical. I think it'd be pretty hard for us to make that really big jump, but we absolutely should make it.
Andy, unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much for yet another stimulating discussion. Every time you and I engage, I always learn plenty. As said previously, you're a great strategic thinker, so we very much appreciate your time. I'm sure our listeners will as well. And so to everybody, stay safe, stay well, and there'll be another podcast with another leader this time next week. Thank you very much.